So we've been off of our series for the last couple weeks because of camp, the week before and the week after. So we took a break from it, but we're back on it starting today. So we've got, I think there's four more weeks after this, something like that. So we've been working our way through. If, for those of you guys who haven't been here, like Jalen and Gabe maybe. No, Gabe's been here. So we're working our way through. I did a survey back in May, asking you guys different issues and on a scale of 1 to 5, basically, how do you struggle with it or do you not struggle with it or somewhere in between. And so we've been working our way through. We did anxiety and depression. We've done purity. We've done body image. There's been a couple other ones that we've done. So we're working our way through the list. We're a little over halfway done. So today is like, yes. I don't have slides. Sorry. I'm sorry. I only did slides like the first couple weeks, I think. Did Nick do slides whenever he taught? Oh, man. Now I feel really bad. I'll do slides for you guys next week.
No, my special
studies. I don't remember. Okay, anyways. So, today, the one that you all have been looking forward to, hopefully not. Pornography is today, so just throwing that out there. Start it off. So today's topic is maybe a little bit uncomfortable. We're not going to go into super, you know, vivid details about it, but it is something that we need to talk about. We probably should have talked about it sooner over the years. I don't think I've ever taught a message on pornography, but at your guys' ages, it's something that we have to talk about. So I know that there's young people in here, and there's high schoolers in here, and so it's a wide range. Some of you guys aren't going to be like super familiar with this or really know what we're talking about. That's okay. I'm not going to be super descriptive. But there's some stats I'll go over here in just a second that show that it is something important to talk about. So for the purpose of our conversation, the definition that we're going to be using is sexually explicit media that are primarily intended to sexually arouse the audience, typically consisting of photos, videos, audio, written materials, even games. So that's going to be the definition that we're going to be working with. If you have questions about this or don't know what something that I'm talking about means, I would prefer that you ask me after we're done rather than raising your hand and asking about it during the teaching. So if you don't know what I'm talking about or you have questions about it, just talk to me afterwards, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. So just some stats to start off with. This would have been good for slides. I probably should have put these on slides, but I'm sorry. Did you use slides whenever you taught in here on this? Seen and heard? Did you put a slideshow together? Okay.
Yeah.
Told you guys. I told you guys he didn't do it. They're trying to make me feel bad that I didn't do a slideshow today. I'm like, well, I... Okay, anyways. All right, so, stats. I think these stats are very surprising. I mean, I know, hopefully, I'm guessing most of you guys know that pornography is an issue, like a widespread issue in our society, but especially among kids of your ages. If you had a public school, I'm sure you're aware of it. I'm sure you've seen it or passed it back and forth or seen people on their phones. But these stats are kind of surprising. So 1 in 3 Americans seek out pornography monthly. So 1/3 of Americans of all ages seek it out intentionally, at least on a monthly basis. Approximately 70 to 80% of men and 32 to 42% of women in the U.S. have watched porn in the last 12 months. So 70 to 80% of men in America have watched it in the last 12 months. That's most men. And then, you know, 1/3 or so of women. Between 5 and 11% of Americans watch it daily. Pornhub is the 4th most visited website in the United States. Think about that. Of all the websites that there are out there, that is the 4th most. Anybody know what the three higher ones are? Just have guesses. The 3 highest... Not Amazon. Google, somebody said. Facebook. No. YouTube. Yeah. YouTube, Google, and Facebook are the only 3 that have more. In 2023, on Pornhub alone, just that one website, 2.14 billion visits in a single month. So that's worldwide, not just in the U.S., but 2.14 billion. There's only 8 billion people in the world. Now, obviously, some of those were repeats, but 2 billion visits in a single month. That is more than Instagram, Netflix, Pinterest, and TikTok combined. Okay, so more than all of those things combined. that one website was visited more than all of those. And that's what I was in 2023. In 2025, I just saw, I was looking at stats on it last night, 3.5 billion visits per month to that one website. That's a lot of visits to one website, any website, but 3.5 billion per month. In 2019, Pornhub released their, like their own internal, statistics as far as visits and things like that. 42 billion visits in a year. That's 115 million a day, 5 million an hour, 80,000 visits per minute. So that's constantly. 24 hours a day, they're averaging 80,000, visits per minute. And then, one study showed that approximately 20% of all cell phone searches are for pornography. So, if you think about when you open your phone and you go on the internet, 20% of searches, approximately, are for pornography of some kind. And a lot of them are going to that website. Obviously, it's the fourth most visited in the United States. So, so those are just some stats. I mean, I was reading articles and looking at different stats on this, and there's a lot of, like, really sad statistics about it and how prevalent it is. I think most of you guys, I don't need to tell you how prevalent it is, but some of those stats are pretty surprising. Like, I mean, think about how many of your friends use Instagram, Netflix, and TikTok, and the fact that one website gets more views than all of those combined in a month is crazy.
Do you know what the number one website
is? In the world?
Yeah.
I would guess it's Google, but... Because, I mean, when you go on the search bar at the top and you just type something in, it automatically takes you through Google. So I would guess it's Google, but... They weren't ranked in the thing I just saw. I just saw that Pornhub was the fourth highest. So anyways, so interesting, alarming, sad, whatever you want to call those stats. It's a problem. It's an epidemic. And so obviously there's negative effects of that. So all of those visits and all of those views and all of that has a negative impact on people, anybody that's viewing it. But over time, that has a negative impact on your mind, the way that you live your life, like your view of sexuality. It has a negative impact on all of those things. And so so beyond just the views, one of the things I looked at also was just how early people are impacted by pornography. So there's different studies and there's different things. A lot of it is self-reported, like, you know, there's surveys out there, and it's like, hey, when was the first time that you viewed pornography, or how did it happen? And so, obviously, people self-reporting, sometimes they're not always completely honest, but the studies that I was looking at varied. But in general, most kids, at least in the United States, are introduced to pornography between the ages of 11 and 13. So, is there nobody in here is 10, yeah? Everybody's 11 or older? You guys are 11? Okay, so, most of the time, 11 to 13 years old is the first interaction with it, okay? Some of that's unintentional. You know, you search for something, you spell it wrong, or you click on an ad, or, you know, whatever. There's various different ways that you can accidentally find it. But 11 to 13 years old, and that's your guys' ages, or younger than you. So obviously that's not the case for every single person, but, I mean, I was in fifth grade, so how old are you in fifth grade? 10? So, I mean, you know, and that was... 30 years ago, so it's a lot more prevalent, a lot more easily accessible. The fact that most of you guys have phones, the fact that you have tablets at your houses, the fact that you have Chromebooks from school, I know they block stuff, but, I mean, you guys have a lot of access to digital media in a way that, you know, I didn't whenever I was your age. You have a question? A statement? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I know they block stuff, but there's ways around it. If you really want to find it, you guys at your age can find a way to find it. That's my point. That's exactly what I'm saying, is no matter how we try to limit as adults or as parents, there's always ways around it, right? There's always ways that you can find it. And so generally between 11 and 13 years old is when kids are finding it for the first time. And so, you know, statistically speaking, most of you guys in this room have viewed it at some point, intentionally or accidentally. A lot of you guys are watching it regularly. statistically speaking, I don't know all of you. I don't know all of your details exactly. Hopefully it's not as widespread in this class. Based on the survey questions, it's like middle of the road as far as things that you guys struggle with. The other things we've talked about before are higher on your guys' lists in general. But I do feel like this is one of those topics maybe that we're not self-reporting on as... it's not as easy to say, hey, I watch pornography, as it is to say, I struggle with anxiety or I have body image issues. Those things are a little bit easier or more socially acceptable to talk about than pornography. So I'm saying that I don't know exactly what this room's demographic is on that, but the stats say that most of you guys have seen it at this point. And if you haven't, praise the Lord and avoid it as much as you can and don't seek it out and don't look up stuff that I'm talking about today. If you have questions about it, ask your parents or me. Don't seek it out if you can avoid it, because when you open that door, then you know, it's all downhill from there. It's an addiction in a way that a lot of other things are not. And so, but there's a lot of variables as far as reasons why it's more prevalent now than it used to be. Obviously, the internet and social media is the two biggest things that have driven that. Whenever I was a kid, I mean, I know you guys think that I'm really old, but I mean, 30 years ago, we had dial-up internet. If you wanted to look up something on the internet, it would take minutes to load a single page. We were not streaming videos. Yeah. We weren't, and you tied up the phone line at the house so nobody else could do anything. Everybody knew when you were online. You weren't, maybe you were reading an article, but you were not viewing video. There was no streaming video when I was a kid. Like, that just wasn't something that we had access to. And I'm really not that old. I mean, that's not that long ago that we didn't have access. We didn't have smartphones until, like, 2007 was the first iPhone came out. Okay? Like, it's not been that long that we've had so much access. And so as speeds have gotten faster and as technology has advanced and like, you know, the resolution on your phones is so much better than it used to be, and now just pretty much everybody has one. Who doesn't have a phone in this room? I'm not trying to embarrass you, but... Okay, so there's four people in this room that don't have a phone, okay? So other than those four, you guys carry around a device in your pocket that's more powerful than any computer or phone or laptop that I had until I was probably 30 years old or maybe older than that. So we have this access, and so the more access we have and the easier it is to get a hold of these things, the human mind just wants to go straight to the things that it wants. And so that's why it's so much easier to get it. That's why it's that age of access or exposure to it for the first time is getting so much younger and younger, is because you have access to it at a younger age. Parents are giving kids phones in elementary school, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but when you give them access, then they get access. And as much as we try to limit it as parents, it, you know, you guys find ways around stuff like that. So there's three. The Bible categorizes sin into three different buckets. We talked about it a little bit at camp, but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You guys remember talking about that with Corey? Okay. So that's the three ways that the Bible divides sin into, or three buckets. And so the lust of the flesh deals with, like, our desires and things that we want for ourselves. It goes against God's plan for our life. It goes against the things that God has designed for us, right? And so it's us saying, oh, I want to be, you know, a doctor. I want to be a construction worker. I want to be this. And I'm going to work my way down that path, and I'm going to go to school, or I'm not going to go to school, or whatever. And despite what God may have to say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me? How do you want me to use the talents that I have, and how can you take the desires and the things that I'm good at and weave those into something that can be honoring to you? Maybe that is being a doctor. Maybe that is being a construction worker. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those jobs or any other job, but seeking what we want over what God wants in all areas of our life, not just our future careers and aspirations, but trying to seek out things that are comfortable to us. Right? This is what stops us from sharing the gospel with people. Right, is we want to be comfortable. We want to seek what we want and not necessarily what God wants for us. That's the lust of the flesh. So pornography kind of ties into that, right? It's something that we're comfortable with or that we desire for ourselves or whatever. But mainly it's the next one. It's the lust of the eyes, right? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Maybe you guys have heard this verse before. You guys read Proverbs every month. You've read it. Proverbs chapter 27.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you probably read it 6 or 7 times.
You
did, All right, somebody read verse 20. Proverbs 27:20. Read it loud.
Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied.
Okay. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Now, this counts women also. It says man. It's talking about mankind. Okay? Our eyes are never satisfied. The lust of the eyes, we can never get enough of what it is that we want to see. I mean, set pornography aside for a minute and just think about the images that we have access to and that we see on a daily basis. Okay? We went to Germany and Hungary and Austria and France in March of this year over spring break. We took the boys. My sister, her husband's stationed in Germany, so we went to go visit them. Okay? We're walking down the streets of Vienna, Austria. Okay? One of the most famous cities in the world. Architecture is cool. There's lots of beautiful things to look at. And all my kids want to do when we're walking around, what do you guys want, Lincoln? What? No. The whole time we're walking around, they just want to go back to the Airbnb, and they want to play video games with their cousins. And I'm like, you're in Vienna. This is a place that nobody in your school is going to Vienna. Like, you are seeing things that your friends are not going to see, and all they want to do is go home and play video games. Okay, we went to all these beautiful places, and a lot of the time they're just like, we're bored.
Mostly the little ones.
It's mostly the little ones, more so than the older ones, but the point is, like, we have access to, we can see whatever we want to see, right? If you want to see the streets of Vienna, you can go on Google Maps right now. Don't do it right now, but you could. Go on, and you can look at street views in Vienna, right? You can see the same things we were seeing. Now, it's not in person. It's different, but you can see it, right? If you want to see what it looks like to go in the mountains, there's pictures of people that they've taken in these beautiful mountains and, you know, just beautiful scenery. You can see all kinds of stuff. But our eyes are never satisfied, okay? We're never, I mean, think about you're scrolling on whatever app you're using, TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, right? We see stuff, and I mean, like, 10 years ago, people would have been like, this is great. But now we're just like, nah, didn't catch my attention in the first half a second. Skip, skip, skip. Until we see something we want to watch, we watch it for 5 seconds. Like, ah, I've seen stuff like this before. I mean, like, our eyes are just never satisfied. We cannot consume enough, like, visually, right? Whatever it is. Not just the pornography side of things, but we just cannot see enough things. We want to see everything. We want to go as fast as we can and see as much as we can. And spend as much time looking at other people's lives as we possibly can. And this verse is what that's talking about. It's saying the eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay? We cannot get enough, no matter how much we look at our phones. And that definitely goes for pornography as well. Once you view it, then it's like, just like anything else, there's suggested other things you could watch. And there's a never-ending stream of videos. I saw the stat, I didn't put it in my notes. I think it's like 80 million videos, like, on Pornhub alone, right? I mean, you could live 10 lifetimes and never watch all of the content that's available to you, right? There's so much, and obviously people are viewing it, otherwise they wouldn't keep putting it out there, right? There's millions and millions and millions of views on these things. Our eyes are never satisfied. And so it doesn't matter how many videos, how many images we look at. We're always going to be seeking another one and another one and another one. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. You read it today? Oh, good. Well, then you already heard this verse one time. Assuming you were paying attention when you read it. Oh, you'd be surprised. I can read stuff and not pay attention to it. If the number of times I've reread a chapter in my Bible because I wasn't paying attention the first time I read it is, I mean, a lot. Colossians. It's in the New Testament. It's on page 1264 if you have my Bible. So, our eyes are searching for things, right? Our eyes want to see things. Our eyes want to see more. They're never satisfied. So this verse, somebody read chapter 3, verse 2. Nice and loud.
Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth.
Okay. If we know that our eyes are never going to be satisfied, right? They're never going to see the end of the things that we want to see, right? Our eyes are always going to want to see more. We should then be setting our eyes on things above, right? We should, and I mean, I don't mean visually like looking up at the sky, okay? The sun will hurt you if you keep looking at it. Don't do that. But we should be setting our eyes on things above, not on things of the earth, this verse tells us, okay? So, I know that that sounds obvious, that, yeah, we're at church on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We understand that God is important, right? Or at least our parents understand that God's important, and they made us come here. So, this isn't maybe news to you, but treating our, living our life in such a way that we set our affection on things above. So not just our eyes, but our affection. The things that we desire, the thing that we're chasing, the thing that we're pursuing should be things that are above and not things that are on the earth. So if you find yourself in a situation where you are addicted to pornography or you're at least watching it regularly or semi-regularly, you're sending it to people are sending it to you, whatever the case is, okay, this pertains to you. This is where you have to start. You have to make a decision about what is important, what is more important, okay? Is it more important in your life to continue to feed the flesh what it wants? And I can tell you that that is a bottomless pit. There is not going to be an end to that, okay? I mean, if there is an end, it's not going to be a good end, right? Or do we want to pursue God and the things that God has for us and the things that God wants for us with our life? And again, when I say that, I know that if this is something you're struggling with, it's not as easy as just saying, oh, okay, I get it now. I'll stop and I'll just start following God and that'll fix everything. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But that is like the first decision. You have to decide, I want what God wants for me more than I want what's for myself. And this goes for any, if pornography is not your thing, and anxiety is your thing, or academic pressure is your thing, or any of the other topics we've talked about or will talk about, you have to decide that what God wants for me is more important than what I want for me. Okay, that goes for all of these things. But specifically today, what we're talking about, it definitely goes for that. And so, if you've been in this situation with pornography especially, you know that in the moment, or when you start viewing it, right, it's exciting and you want to view more. But afterwards, it's like the furthest thing. It's disgusting to you, right? You don't want to view it ever again, and you feel terrible about yourself, and you don't want to ever do that again. And then then the cycle starts all over again. It's empty, and so deep down we know that it's wrong. And if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God telling us, this is wrong, right? We know that in our heart. We know, like, nobody really needs to tell us that. But it's difficult, right? It's difficult to stop doing what the flesh wants, no matter what the thing is, right? No matter what it is, it's difficult to stop those things. So setting our affection on things above, not on things of the earth, is the first step to God delivering us. Now, I can tell you that, God can miraculously deliver any of us from any issue that we have, right? I mean, he could just one day just take it from you. I've heard Pastor Brian talk about with cussing. Maybe you guys have heard him talk about that. He used to cuss a bunch when he was in high school. And drinking, he's mentioned that as well. He drank when he was in high school, right? And then he gets saved, and he says God just took those things from him. Like, he just doesn't have a desire to do those things anymore. Okay, that's not the case for everybody on those two particular topics or anything else, right? Sometimes, though, God can just take something from you. So maybe you make a decision that, hey, I've been doing this and I don't want to do it anymore. And God could just say, okay, it's done, right? God can miraculously do that. So I don't want to limit what God can do by saying that that's not going to happen. But it, for the most part, that is not how it works. God does typically just not take something like pornography out of your life, right? We have to, there's more to it than just, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I've gotten saved now. And, God's just going to pull this out of my life. That's typically not the case. Okay, so going back to like original creation, okay, God created Adam and Eve, right? And what did he tell them? Besides don't eat of the tree, what was their command? What was their mission? Yes, that was one of them. What was the other part of their mission? Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? God was telling them, have sex and have babies. That was their job. Okay? They were supposed to reproduce eternal beings, right? They were eternal at the time. Before they fell, they were going to live forever. And their job was to reproduce sons and daughters of God. Okay? That is also our job, by the way, to reproduce sons and daughters of God. Right? Eternal beings that will live forever. We tell people about Jesus, they accept Christ as their Savior, they are now a son of God or a daughter of God, and they will live forever. Okay, that's the same job as us. But when God designed them for that, He designed them and said, hey, I want you guys to have sex that results in having children, and I want you to replenish the whole earth. Okay? So that's how God created it. He created sex in the context of a man and a woman in marriage. Okay? And what Satan does with all areas of life and all things that God says is he counterfeits it and he twists it, right? To make it be something that it was not originally intended to be. Okay, so with like the eating of the tree, right? Don't eat of this one tree. And then what does Satan say? Yea, hath God said? Calling into question, right? What God said. And twisting, you know, okay, well he did say that you weren't supposed to eat of the tree, but he said that because he knows that when you do, you're going to be like him. And, I mean, technically that was true, right? Not in the way that he was saying it to her, but their eyes were going to be opened, and they were going to be like gods, knowing right from wrong. Right? That is exactly what was going to happen. And God was trying to protect them from that, because that also meant that he had to fulfill his side of the promise, which was, if you do that, you're going to die. Like, physically, you're going to die eventually, and spiritually, you're going to die right then, when that happens. Okay? So, when God sets this up, and then Satan comes in and counterfeits and twists and manipulates it to be something that looks like what God intended, or that looks similar, but it's not, right? It's not the same thing. And he does the same thing with sex, okay? God creates it and says, this is the context that it's okay, and this is what I want it to be used for. And then Satan says, well, what if you watched other people do that? You know, like, you don't have to do it necessarily, but what if you were just watching, right? And so he twists and he manipulates and he counterfeits and he makes it be something that it is not. And I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but pornography could be, you know, and sometimes is a gateway into other issues of purity in your life, right? You're watching it and then you want to participate in it outside of the context of marriage, and that creates a whole other world of problems, right? And so it is a way that Satan twists and counterfeits and manipulates what God has designed from the beginning. And so, going back to this setting our affection on things above, how does that help us? So it reminds us that God has a plan, right? God had a plan. Yeah.
Kind of speaking what's your point, they've done studies in pornography is like that gateway. Typically, it lacks fulfillment after so many times to where there does need to be like that physical addict. Otherwise, it's
It's the same way with like drugs and alcohol, things like that. Like when I was a kid, the gateway drug was marijuana. That we always said that's the gateway drug because like it, you know, it makes you start using drugs and then eventually like it doesn't work the same way that it did, and you have to chase harder things or more of it in order to get the same high that you felt before. And so you would chase more things, and I know there's been studies that say that it's not exactly the case, but that was what we always talked about, is that it was a gateway drug. And pretty much every drug or vice in your life has a gateway some way in. So like what Mickey's saying is, yeah, basically what I said is that it becomes less fulfilling the longer that you do it, right? And so you have to continually chase something else. And so, yeah, eventually it could turn into physically having to involve somebody else in order to continue to get the same feeling, the same dopamine hit that you had before. And so it doesn't end well is what we're saying. But if we put our focus on things above, we focus our life on, okay, I'm gonna read my Bible. That's gonna help. And that will help you. right? I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with other Christians. I'm going to stop hanging out with people that are going to entice me to do those things, that are going to be the ones that are sending me videos and images that I shouldn't be seeing. I'm going to stop hanging out with them, or I'm going to block them on whatever it is that they're sending me stuff on, right? I'm going to spend time around Christians, and I'm going to, like, you know, my community is going to be people that are maybe more like-minded with what I'm trying to strive for, which is, you know, a relationship with the Lord. I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. I'm going to tell other people about Jesus, right? I'm going to share the gospel with people. I'm going to talk about how God has changed my life, and I'm going to invite them to accept Christ or to come to my church so that God can change their life as well. Right? We can do all of those things. I can tell you, I don't know the stats on our church or on this room, but there's people in this room and there's people in this church that do those things and also still struggle with pornography. So those things are great, and you should do all of those things. You should read your Bible. You should pray. You should tell people about Jesus. You should spend time with people who are godly and that are going to encourage you to be better in all areas of your life. You should do all of those things. But you can do all of those things and also still struggle with pornography. Those are not mutually exclusive things. It seems like, man, that does not make sense how you could try to follow God in all areas of your life except this one really wicked area that you know is wrong. But that's the case for the people in this room and in this church that's the case for. So there has to be more, right? What else can we do? How else can we get ourselves out of this situation? If you're in this situation, I have been there. It feels miserable. It is not a place that you want to be, doing things for the Lord and also then feeding your flesh whenever you have the opportunity. Okay, we have to be proactive. We have to take steps to get it out of our life. So setting our affection on things above, doing godly things to fill those areas of our life is a good step. We should do those things. But, like, what else do we need to do? How else can we help ourselves? How else can we work through this? How else can we limit or stop this activity in our life? This is going to be a really difficult thing for you to do if this is the situation that you're in. You have to tell somebody. Like, you have to walk up to your parent or to your discipler or to me or to Nick or somebody. You have to walk up to them. And if you're a lady, like, you should tell my wife or Kendra or somebody else. Like, I don't need to talk to you about that necessarily unless you just want to. But you have to tell somebody. That is, like, really tough. And if you're in the situation and I say that, your heart is pumping because you're like, man, that sounds terrible. I do not want to tell anybody about this. That's going to be a super awkward conversation. Okay, I'm telling you, that's going to be a super awkward conversation. Discussing pornography in your life with somebody else is weird. Okay, but that, I mean, like, you have to do that. Like, if you're serious about getting out of it, you gotta tell somebody. Like, somebody else has to be involved. And I don't mean tell your friend or tell some stranger, right? Don't text your buddy. Like, you need to, like, have a real conversation with somebody that can actually help you with that. That can help keep you accountable. That can, you know, walk you through how it is that you're supposed to fix this. And not just somebody that says, hey man, that sucks. Me too. Good luck. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. Don't tell your buddies. Tell somebody that can help you. We have to be proactive. Put other obstacles in your life. This goes for things outside of just pornography. If you're struggling with anything, you got to put obstacles that help keep you from doing that thing, right? And I'm guessing based on the survey that nobody in here is struggling with alcohol addiction. Okay, but if you're struggling with alcohol addiction, Cameron, you are. If you're struggling with alcohol addiction, you don't go places where people are drinking alcohol. Like, that's obvious when I say it out loud, but that's what I'm talking about with pornography. Like, you don't take your phone in your bedroom or in the bathroom, right? You don't take your tablet those places. You only get online when you're in the same room as your parents, right? Things like that. Like, that's weird, and that can be awkward, and it's going to require, like, a change in the way that you live, but you have to do it. Like, that's an obstacle. Like, when you have access to your phone in a room by yourself, when everybody else in the house is asleep, it's going to be difficult for you, if you're just scrolling on Instagram, it's going to be difficult for you not to then, you know, take that further than you want to. So you have to limit the places and the times that you're using your device, right? Maybe, probably, you should put apps on your phone or have your parents put apps on your phone that limit your screen time, that limit access to websites. They can block, you know, your phone completely after certain times of the day. There's all kinds of technology that you can implement. Now, to what Jalen was talking about with the Chromebooks earlier, I know it does not. That does not mean that you never can have access to it again. Kids are always finding ways around, you know, the tools and things that are in place. But that's a good stop. Like, hey, my phone's just not going to work after 9 o'clock at night. That sucks, you know. Maybe you hand your phone to your parents at 9 o'clock at night and say, "I'll get this in the morning," right? Maybe that's what you have to do. I don't know. There's apps like there's an app called Covenant Eyes that my dad uses for life issues. Students that are dealing with pornography, he puts them on Covenant Eyes, and so it goes on all their devices and it sends reports. I don't know if it's daily or weekly or monthly or how it goes, but it's sent so they have to put somebody. This is your accountability partner. So like my dad will be the accountability person for this guy, and so this guy's every website that he visits, you know, for that day or week or month or whatever it is, gets sent to my dad. My dad gets a report. These are the websites he visited, how many times he visited them, whatever. It takes random screenshots of your phone every so often. I don't know how it works exactly. But it takes screenshots and sends those screenshots, they're blurred, screenshots to your accountability person, right? So there's like protections in place that if you go back down that road, the person who's keeping you accountable is going to know about it, and they're going to talk to you about it, right? That's another obstacle that you can put in your life. Triggers, like things that might trigger you to go down that road. Maybe it's social media and seeing things on social media. Maybe there's not nudity on social media. On some social medias there's not, right? But maybe those things lead you down the road. They're like, oh, then I'm going to get out of that and I'm going to go into this other thing. Okay, get rid of the social media. Stop looking at those things that you know might lead you down that road. Somebody go to Proverbs 4:14. Us is all to go there. Somebody read it when they get there. Proverbs 4:14 and 15.
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away.
Okay. These are steps that you can take to avoid any area of temptation. If pornography is not your thing, praise the Lord. If what I'm talking about today, you're like, I don't care about that at all. I don't view it. I've seen it before. Not interested. Great. I'm actually, I don't mean great like sarcastically. I'm like, that is great. Good for you that you don't struggle with that. These verses go for anything that you might face. Because all of us are going to face something. All of us are going to deal with something. That's going to be like our thing that we struggle with. Okay, all of us have that thing. It says to not enter into the path of the wicked. Okay, don't go where wickedness is happening. Now, on your phones, you have that in your pocket all the time. Wickedness is happening, right? You can watch it whenever you want. All kinds of wickedness, whatever that thing is for you. But don't enter into that area. Okay, go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Like, don't go places that it's happening. Okay? Pass not by it. Don't even look at it, right? Pornography, don't look at it. But I mean, like, in general, avoid it. Okay, turn from it and pass away. This is one of my triggers. I got to turn away from it. I cannot go down that road because I know what's at the end of that road, and I don't want to do that anymore. Okay? Put some obstacles in your life that help keep you away from it. And so, these are steps, right? These are suggestions on things that you can and should do if this is something that you struggle with. One other thing that I will advise you guys on that are dealing with it is that the desire for it doesn't really ever go away. Okay? Like, you can have victory over it in some area, like in the fact that you don't view it anymore, but it doesn't really go away. I don't go too far down that road. But it doesn't go away. It doesn't really matter how old you get. Like, it may be a problem for you your whole life. Like, the desire for it. But, man, you've got to do all the things we're talking about. You've got to set your affection on things above. You've got to surround yourself with people that are hopefully going to keep you from those things. You've got to spend time building your relationship with the Lord. You've got to replace those bad habits, the things that you're trying to replace, or the things that you're trying to get rid of. You've got to replace those things with godly habits, like with things that are actually going to, you know, when I start thinking about or going down this road, I have to know I've got to avoid it, pass by, turn away. I've got to get away from that thing, and I'm going to turn to whatever. I'm going to call this person that I've talked to about this, and they're going to help talk me down, right? They're going to help, they're going to pray with me right then on the phone, right? They're going to really, in some way, help me with this. And the further you get away from it, obviously, the easier it's going to be. But, man, the devil has manipulated sex in this world that we live in to such a degree that it is difficult to get away from it completely, right? You can watch movies, any movies, PG-13 movies now are like almost pornography in and of themselves sometimes, right? There's access to it. You can get it in any number of ways. And that, you could be unintentionally watching something and it pops up and you're like, man, I wasn't even thinking about it. Now that's all I can think about, right? So it will be something, potentially could be something that you deal with for your whole life. So don't be discouraged by that. Know that that's the enemy that you face. And, like, be prepared always to deal with that. You have a question?
No, but when you said that, like, praying with people in the corner reminded me of something I heard about the candle. There was this lady that was in prison, and she called the candle studios, and they had, like,
praying with people on the phone. Yeah. Have any of you guys ever prayed with somebody on the phone? It can be weird to pray with somebody on the phone. Like, there was a guy that some of you guys might know, Mike Van Horn. He's a Bible distribution guy in Tennessee. He's been here and preached several times. He called the church office one day and was like talking about something. And then I was like, all right, have a good day or whatever. And he's like, can I pray with you real quick, before we get off the phone? And I was like, yeah, great. It was weird. I was not ready for him to say, let's pray together on the phone. It's weird to pray with people on the phone. I get it. It can be weird, but it can be a good tool to use if you're struggling with anything. Like, in the moment, you need, like, somebody to pray with you and kind of, like, reset your focus. Like, oh, my gosh, okay, this is great. I need this spiritual thing in my life to replace this physical desire that I have in my life. All right, the last thing I want to say about this, and again, like all the stuff we're talking about, this kind of goes for lots of different areas. It's not just pornography. But if you think about it like a soldier, okay, when do soldiers prepare for war? Huh?
Well before.
Yeah, well before the war, right? Currently, we're not in an active wartime in the United States. I mean, there are wars going on in the world, but our military is not actively engaged in warfare, right? I have a brother-in-law that's in the military. He's training every day, right? When we went to visit them in Germany, there's guys and girls running all day, every day. Not one person, but you just look out their window, and there's people running past their door all the time. They've got pull-up bars and all these different weight stations like all around the base, right? You can stop and on your jog, you can stop and do your pull-ups and your push-ups, and they're always physically like training them. They have to go live out in the woods, and they gotta, they're going and they're firing their guns and they're, checking their tanks, and they're doing all these battles and these drills and all this stuff so that when the battle comes, when there is a war, eventually we know we're probably going to be in a war somewhere, and we want these soldiers to be ready to know what it's like to live in a war. And so we want them to not be, shaken and too scared to fire their gun. So we're going to put them in some like really high stress situations, and then we're going to hand them a gun and we're going to tell them you got to shoot that target way down there. Right. Or they're going to drive their tanks and they're going to have to hone in the, all the stuff. They have to do all of those things before they're in war so that when the war comes, when they're in a battle, they don't like freeze up and freak out and have problems. Okay, that's how we need to be. That's how you need to be in whatever area of your life that you deal with. If it's pornography, that's what we're talking about today. You got to prepare ahead of time. Put safeguards in place. Prepare yourself spiritually. Know what things might trip you up. Avoid those things, right? All the different obstacles that we just talked about, you have to put those things in place when you're not feeling the pressure to do that. When you're not actively, like right now, hopefully, none of you are thinking, man, I got to get on my phone and look at some stuff. Okay? In these moments when you don't feel like that, you have to prepare for the battle. You know that it's going to come. If you've dealt with it, or you are dealing with it, like, you know that that desire is going to come one of these days, or tonight, or when you're alone with your phone. Okay? Prepare now when you're not feeling that way. Be reading your Bible. Talk to someone. Pray. All the things we talked about. Like, put the safeguards on your phone. Lock your phone up. Turn it off. I don't know. Whatever you got to do to like, avoid it. Prepare in the times that you're not in that battle. Because when the heat of the battle starts, man, I mean, like, you got to be ready. You got to know, okay, I know what my plan is. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go lay in my parents' bed or whatever. Like, I'm going to go, whatever. I have to do something drastic to do something that's different than what I've been doing. Otherwise, we're going to keep going down the same road over and over again. Okay. Pornography discussion over. Everybody breathe a sigh of relief. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Oh, man. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't know the stats on that exactly, but yeah, that is definitely more. Mickey was mentioning that the written form of it, like books about that, are more prevalent now than they have been as well. So, there's something for everybody. Like, when it comes to pornography, there's something that will get everybody. So, all right, let's pray.